This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9.
Progress, and we're running out of time and we're low on health packs.
Wait, I have an idea.
We did it!
Our game's been saved, but it's dangerous to go alone.
Welcome to Checkpoint, your favourite video game show.
Yes, you are here on Checkpoint on Joy 94.9. Another special episode, as we do not have a show during Mardi Gras weekend. So instead of that, some double podcast action. That's DPA. So,
was that the official slang?
Means something else, probably. But we're calling it that today. I'm Luke, joined once again by Elliot,
yo,
Rachel,
yay,
and Tom.
Hey,
And we are talking about the math of love triangles. And we're also talking about collector's editions in video games. Now, these are things that people tend to love to have. These special versions of games that come out. They're usually double or triple the price. But they include, you know, figurines or like extra content or like an extra hat in game and stupid
Some
stuff like that.
Season pass.
Some season pass content. So, I mean, it's become pretty much a standard where any game that comes out nowadays, it usually, especially being a AAA title, will have a collector's edition attached to it. So, thought we'd talk about it a bit today, about collector's editions, the ones that work, the ones that don't, and whether we invest in them ourselves. Now, I think what makes a collector's edition probably really worth having for me would be anything figurine related.
Yes, I nice little that. Objets for the shelf.
A good statue.
And I mean, if you guys, I know, Tom, you've been to my house. You've seen the amount
the
of
museum that's there. The carefully curated.
Do you get a ticket upon entry?
Oh, he validates parking.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
I really do love my collectors. You know, I love having figurines, especially the large ones for the shelf that...
You heard it here first.
You walk in and you're like, oh, wow, where'd you get that? Or, oh, well, there's only 200 available in Australia. No. You know, it's kind of like a bit of a pride, a bit of a coup to have
elitism,
some of these
that's
things.
All it is.
Well, it can be. And I think that nowadays these collector's editions are made intentionally hard to get. Like, companies only make a certain few of them.
As they
deliberate
should be.
Scarcity.
Well, you know, that's the whole point of a limited edition. It should be limited.
Yes, because sometimes you do see they'll just keep re-releasing it and re-releasing it, and then you're just like, well, now my original's ruined.
Yeah.
Damn it.
And I mean, by all these plebs.
All these damn plebs. And that sort of begs the question of, you know, when you have digital collector's editions of things... It can't really
it's weird,
be
isn't it?
A collector's edition.
Can I give a weird story about a digital collector's edition recently? Okay, so I went with a friend to purchase Halo Wars 2.
Yep.
And digital collector's edition, which came with a CD case for the game, which he didn't have a CD for. And that was part of the collector's edition for Halo Wars 2. So,
hang on. So he bought it digitally?
He bought it digitally.
How did he get the case?
He bought it a digital, like they sell at retail stores digital copies.
Right.
And that's what he purchased because I think the digital version of Halo Wars 2 comes with the Windows 10 as well as Xbox.
Okay.
And so he bought that and the collector's edition, he didn't do enough research because he paid extra for the collector's edition, which came with a CD case.
Right.
Which was basically the entirety of the digital. The collector's edition, and it was just ludicrous, and I was laughing to him for
like
20 minutes.
So like one of those tin cases that they do, like the metal case, but absolutely nothing to put
in
it.
Absolutely
nothing. Not even a soundtrack or anything.
No, it didn't come with, to my knowledge, it didn't come with anything else.
Game music is largely, I think, underappreciated outside of our little gaming community, but it's some of the most brilliantly produced work out there. And so that's one of those collector's edition items that I think really is an actual value beyond the figurines or the statues, actually having that CD. Now, I myself don't even listen to the music in-game. I tend to, like, turn it down and watch TV or something.
Blasphemy.
Yeah. I like Netflix in-game. Yeah, I'm a terrible person. Yeah.
Oh, I can't do that.
No.
But I do acknowledge that some music is brilliant and some people do just listen to it as their music genre of choice.
Yeah. I have it on my iPod.
Yeah, exactly. And so actually having that CD, while, again, to some of us, just like, CD... collect dust. Some people, you know, will use it.
Well, it's got actual value more than a figurine would, in the sense of it's something that you can actually use. Figurines you have on your shelves and they look great, but eventually you get so many that you kind of get newer ones that look better and take prime position, and the older ones eventually get either given away or sold or whatever anyway, right?
Battle Royales.
Yeah, kind of, like eliminated, you know? I don't do that. I keep all my crap. Like, I'm a hoarder. So I still have everything that I've ever had.
Are you
going
to eventually run out of room in your house?
Eventually, yes.
That's where you get a bigger house, like I will be.
But yeah, like my main room, like there's just like shelves and shelves and layers and stacked and figurines everywhere.
Are you one of those people who have like rooms dedicated to your figurines and junk?
Yes.
Because you would drive me mad if I was living with you. I'd be like, that's a perfectly good like space that could be used.
No, it's in my living space, like in the lounge, like it's like surrounds me in the lounge and dining room, like our dining room table, but right behind us, there's like shelves and shelves of those pop vinyl figures.
It's nice. It's
like
tasteful.
My house too. Okay.
It's curated.
I think it's tasteful. Yeah. It's well placed.
But funnily enough, the one of the few figurines I have is actually a semi-functional one. So for Diablo 3, the collector's edition on that, you got the Diablo skull. And in the center of his head was the Soul Gem, which you could pull out, which was a USB stick that contained Diablo 2.
Oh, that's even cooler. Yeah.
That was a good one.
And I don't think you even needed to install it. I think it might have run off USB, although I could be wrong there. But that little bit of extra function was one of the few collections that I bought just for
that. That's really nice.
And then I held onto the box and stuff for ages because, you know, you feel like you should keep it all together.
The box was a nice box.
It was,
too.
But then I moved and I'm just like, eh.
Yeah, the boxes too much space. Go. The boxes have to go eventually. You can't keep them all. But yeah, I think, I mean, these collector's editions of games, they're meant to make you want to, I guess, pre-order. That's a main thing as well. Because, I mean, with the digital age, you could argue that pre-ordering is silly nowadays. There's no need to pre-order because you can get everything digitally, even in stores. They never run low on game discs, you know?
Frankly, some of these, like, pre-order digital exclusives are pathetic.
It's like a costume or...
Yeah. Like, give us something to work with. Or they do a pre-order bonus and then release it as DLC afterwards anyway.
Ugh.
And so you're just like, well, now you're just, like, you know, thumbing your nose at me.
Yeah. So for a game that's very popular, so we're talking about your, I don't know, like your Elder Scrolls or your Dragon Age, your bigger sort of titles, you know, they're the ones where people are going to pre-order them and the collector's editions are going to be unavailable pretty much from day one because they sell out and they're gone. But then you also have collector's editions for games that are a bit less popular and they end up being like super cheap later on anyway. Like I remember with Recore, for example, really cool collector's edition. The figurine in Recore, she's there with her robot dog and everything. It's a really cool figure. I can't really describe it properly without showing you my hands, but like it's, you know, 30 centimeters tall. You know, it was a big figurine. And Recore was a game that didn't do that well commercially, but seeing that figurine in stores like a month after it came out at like half price, I was like, oh, I kind of want to buy that, you know? Even though the game wasn't that fantastic, I still kind of thought, that's a really cool figurine,
but
almost
at least
worth
you
the price.
Did actually play the game. Like, you've played some of Recore.
Oh, it's finished it, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you're not just collecting up something just because
for
it's
the sake of it.
A game-related thing. Because I do see some people do that. They've got these collectibles, and I'm like, you've never played that game in your life.
You're just calling
do
them out.
Do you even know what that character is? Like, exactly.
So that's a different level of hoarder, isn't it? Yes. Like getting figurines for games that don't even play.
It's like geekdom.
Well, that actually happened with Dragon Age Inquisition, like the big collector's box. They came with this huge box crate thing. I have two of them because we got the collector's edition when it's first came out, and inside it had these tarot cards that I really wanted, but I wasn't allowed to touch it because my partner was like, no, that's mine. So for ages and ages and ages, I was like looking for another box, and it was nearly $100 and something, and I was like, no, not paying that much for the tarot cards. So I looked on eBay for these cards. Those cards are like $300 on eBay, and I'm like, no. A couple of years after, or a year after the thing, I've picked up the box for $20 or $40 or something. So I bought the whole collector's edition again, minus the game in it, just to get these cards.
It's like peaks and troughs in terms of value, right? Like they're hard to find at the start, so everyone panics and goes, oh my god, I have to have it, and pays hundreds of dollars. And then they end up making more of them, or there's so many of them in circulation later on that eventually they end up being cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, that happened with Amiibos as well. You know, I know they're separate things to buy altogether, but I mean, with Amiibos, when they first came out, that first run of Amiibos, there was about four or five of them that you could not find anywhere at the time. And they were online for like $100 for these $15 Amiibos.
Yeah, but see, Luke, you're old enough, like me, to remember. Do you remember when Beanie Babies were this huge thing, and like, they were going for thousands of dollars, and it was insane? Yeah. Like, it's just like stockbroking, like, you know, day trading and futures markets and stuff. It's this complete house of cards, but God, people jump into
it. Those Beanie Babies are still selling for a fair price, too.
I thought the bottom completely dropped out, so to speak.
Some of them
are really still popular.
Yeah, it is insane. Now, I mean, these are the really good collector's editions that we really have. Figurines or something really tangible that you can hold on to and put on a shelf proudly, or a soundtrack that you can keep. But there are some collector's editions that are just shit. I mean, we're talking about ones that have collector's edition and it might include, like, a second outfit for your character to wear in-game. Yeah. Or like a weapon that you can actually find in game, but you'll get it at the start of the game with the collector's edition and stuff like that. These are collector's editions, and
those are the worst ones. Done wrong. It's like you get this weapon at the start of the game that other people won't have, and it's always like, well, that just makes me more powerful than you develop the game around. Like, isn't this just going to make it too easy at the beginning of the game, and I'll very quickly get a better one anyway? Like, does it really make any difference at all?
Yeah, I don't think I ever use the digital deluxe extra bits. Like, sometimes I'll get it either because I want to support the game. Because I think sometimes that's, you know, it can be a way of sort of showing that you really appreciate the artists or the, you know, developers on this game and you want to sort of up their profit margin, I guess. But yeah, I don't often actually use the content.
No one thinks that way but you.
Yeah. It's me and my holistic notions.
No, I appreciate that. I totally appreciate that.
Developers like, oh, there's an extra $40 in our spreadsheet. Someone must love us.
It's that Tom guy again. He's keeping us in business.
Yep. I just love to be that anomaly.
He just loves it. But I do think, I mean, the idea of collector's editions, it's so stupid to put on digital content like that and make it a big deal. I mean, these are things that should be, you know, a free download code if you, like, I don't know, like the developer's Facebook page or something. That's what it should be.
Oh, no, that's annoying too.
I'm just saying, though, you're not paying money for it, though. You're just clicking a like on a web page.
I think Battleborn did that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Battleborn did lots of things.
Yeah, none they of them really, well. They tried and then they failed a lot.
Master of none.
They really, it was a good game though.
Was it?
It was okay.
No, it was actually quite good, but I'd the problem it was it was just really done badly. Like marketed badly.
Good game done badly.
No, it was a great game, great concept, but they just didn't push it. Like,
now the problem with all of this,
it makes matchmaking in For Honor look quick.
Yeah, it does.
That process was hellish.
But
it
the
was
story for Battleborn was actually good.
All that content was there. Yeah,
yeah. The story.
Back on
is
track,
great.
Guys. Not the Battleborn show. Screw Battleborn. It's like a year. It's like a year old, and no one plays it. No one cares. but looking at collector's editions, I mean, people buy them without even really knowing what they are. Like, I mean, especially with the digital ones, people just think, oh, well, I'm just going to invest in this, you know? And we talked about it on our Intimates Season Pass podcast that we did a few weeks ago. But, I mean, people will buy a collector's edition digitally thinking, well, I really want this game and I want to have everything possible in it, so I'm going to just buy it. Even if it's like $50 more than the regular price, without even really thinking about what they're going to get long term out of it. And I'm going to bring up the For Honor Season Pass again, because that was one where there was no real tangible good content in that. It was just like champion status for a period of time, access to characters a week early when they do come out in the future, and a couple of like costumes. And that was it. And that was in a collector's edition season pass pack for an extra, like, $80 or whatever
but
it was.
Presumably, like, you get early access, but other people would still need to buy the DLC in order to use it.
No, DLC's free.
It's all going to be free. Yep. Oh, then
it was stupid, right?
Well, For Honor, I've got to double up on this, because it did look to be like it was a fault and not purposeful, but the standard edition digitally was not available here on pre-order. So if you're buying digitally through the Xbox store, at least in my experience, you could not order the standard edition. You had to get the
buy
deluxe.
The gold edition.
Oh, yeah, the gold edition for like an extra $10.
Yeah, I had a friend who got caught by that too.
Oh, they bought it?
Yeah, they had to. But once the game came out,
halfway through the next day when it was supposed to be out, it was supposed to be out here at 11, I got it unlocked at 6.
I do think that was an error on their part.
I legitimately
than
do
any
as well.
Deliberate kind of like.
But you should
gotcha.
Have heard my ranting beforehand about the conspiracy theory.
He was pretty angry about it the night before online. But I mean, collector's editions like that, people are paying for something you can't even hold in your hands. I mean,
that's what a
literally no
edition
value
should
at all.
Be. Like, there has to be something to physically, tangibly collect, you would think. I mean, that's like the origin of the meaning of collector's edition.
Because who cares if we both have For Honor, right? Who cares if I have a DLC pack a week early and you don't? Who actually cares about that in the grand scheme of things, you know? Like, am I going to brag about that? Oh, I paid extra $50 so I get this before you do for a week. Ha!
No.
I'm sure you've kind of done that with, like, review copies and stuff. Like, I get this game a week early.
No. I wouldn't do that. But I think that there's it's the word collector's edition, it implies value. It implies good features and good content.
Well, arguably, collector almost presumes that it could possibly raise in value. And with the physical copies, in some cases, that is true. But I can't think of a single case of a digital copy ever like going
really
up in
point.
Value.
Yeah, and how do you get that off your console?
Yeah,
exactly.
That's the problem with the whole thing, you know. So you're putting that label on something that, in a literal sense, nobody else can get that off you once you've got it. So really, what are you collecting? What are you doing?
It's not really, is it?
Debt.
Debt.
Collecting debt.
And sadness. Like, it doesn't make sense. Look, collector's editions, they can be done very well, but also very poorly.
I think in the case of Mass Effect, there's one where I think it's going too far. There's like the AC car. And that collector's was like 400 and something.
Is this Andromeda?
Yes, yeah. The Mass Effect Andromeda Collector's Edition. There's two cars. There's one that's an AC car and one that's just a little figurine car that lights up. The figurine one was a couple of hundred for the Collector's Edition. The AC one was near $400 for the AC car.
Mm. I've got to say, there are some Collector's Editions that even I have fallen for. The Fallout 4, the Pip-Boy edition.
Yes. Oh, that was good, though.
That was good.
I know. I've got it on my shelf. Pride and place.
How many times did you use it?
Like two.
Yeah.
Like twice. But it doesn't matter. It sits there looking fantastic. I love it so much. I love Fallout so much, I just didn't care. And I got home, and the first thing I did when I got home was put it on my wrist and walk around the house at like after a midnight launch. So like 12:30 in the morning, this is my life, people. This is the loser I am.
You should have gone out into the wasteland, into the Australian desert and tried to survive.
The wasteland of sunshine.
Yeah. That's accurate.
Would have come back. Would have been Pip-Boy stolen.
Scavenged for good.
Scavenged.
Yeah, find a stray dog and say, you'll be my friend.
I will call you dog meat. It's like, huh? It's taking a turn.
You cosplayed at home with that, didn't you?
Yeah, a bit. Yeah. I actually wanted to do it at PAX. I wanted to do, because I have a German Shepherd, for those who don't know. And I wanted to go in like the Vault Dweller gear with the Pip-Boy.
They'll let you bring him in. You'll have to say he's a seeing eye dog.
That's what I was about to say. They don't let me have, I can't take pets inside like PAX, right? So I could have gone and like hovered around outside with him and done cosplay, but then...
I'm just going to say, therapy dog.
Yeah.
Well, he is sometimes in a way, I have to say. That's all time we have for today, guys. Collector's editions, the jury's out, I think. The digital ones are stupid. but, I mean, they've already announced, talking about Shadow of War being announced this week. The collector's edition for that's already been announced.
It looks so good.
It looks really pretty. It looks really nice.
It's actually orgasmic how good that looks.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry. Like, as far as collector's editions go, that looks massive and so pretty.
Oh, we're going to leave Rachel with her massive pretty orgasmic moment. This has been Luke, Elliot, Rachel and Tom on another episode of Checkpoint on Joy 94.9. This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.